This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody
death toll is rising in a horrific military plane crash.
A Marine Corps refueling plane spiraling out of control and slamming into a soybean field in Mississippi, killing at least 16 people.
This is a terrible story. Griff Jenkins is covering it live with the latest on this devastating loss. Griff.
Good morning, guys. Our thoughts and prayers going out today to the families of those 16 service members who lost their lives yesterday in that terrible crash. A spokesperson for the U.S. Marine Corps saying that the cause is undetermined at this point, but that the Marine Corps KC-130 experienced a mishap before going down in the Mississippi Delta some 85 miles north of Jackson around 4 p.m. yesterday. One witness on the ground reported hearing a loud boom and seeing a large plume of black smoke as the plane spiraled down in a corkscrew, crashing the debris field stretching for miles. Officials for LaFleur County, Mississippi's Emergency Management Agency warning residents to stay away.
We don't want nobody out there. You have fuel everywhere, so we don't want anybody without responders in the area or tamping around in the area.
Now, the FBI has been called into the scene, and there are a few details coming out of the Marine Corps spokes folks. They announced the crash on Twitter, and we're trying to learn more. Here's what those same officials had to say.
At this time, we're getting more information to work this incident, this scene out, to see further what we need to do.
Mississippi's Governor Phil Bryan expressing his concerns for these Marines. This is certainly a tragic and developing story, guys, that we will certainly learn a lot more about later today.
We will indeed. All right, Griff, thank you very much.
You realize, too, when it comes to the military, people go, oh, you're just going through training. You're just going through exercising. No, everything is dangerous because they drill, they go through all these things, and you just hear about the stuff that happens domestically because you have to go through all this in order to hopefully pull it off in actually the theater of war.
And in this particular case, the KC-130 is essentially a flying gas station. It's full of gas. And apparently in this instance, it sounds like it also had a load of ammo as well.
I know, so it's so dangerous. They're still searching. The vegetation is so high in this rural field. They're searching through all of that to see if there are more bodies. But 16 people we know confirmed dead, as Griff was just reporting. So keep those families in your thoughts and prayers today because their lives are changed forever.
Absolutely.
Well, we echo that as well. Thoughts and prayers for the family. 16 Marines, and the FBI is seeking answers. And, of course, we're looking for answers as well. This is just one of those, domestic tragedies, training. I mean, it's all, people that know that when they go in the military, that, risk comes with the job. And this is, absolutely incredible and heartbreaking. And, of course, we'll keep you up to date as the information becomes available. This is Bill Martinez. A little bit later on, well, coming up in just, in about 20 minutes from now, we're going to be talking with Cheryl Atkinson. Her book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. You're going to be surprised. I mean, she is known, of course, award-winning investigative reporter, has her own TV show as well that she hosts every week. It's just a stellar example of journalism. And she really stands out quite glaringly in light of the manipulated news pablum that has been, put out for us. And she has become quite an example, and I believe an encouragement to other journalists, to hold their ground in a sense, to hold to some journalistic ethics. And you're going to be surprised as the things she shares with us as to what is going on and what is at the basis and motivation of this fake news that you're hearing about that many I hear are just fed up with this. But, you know, it is important for us to get the news, to be discerning, and to know what it is that we know with some confidence. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
What do you think about all these Democrats in Congress? The impeachment doesn't work. The Russia thing doesn't work.
Right.
Now they're throwing this out there.
Well, clearly it's showboating. They know that this bill is going to go nowhere. It's going to do nothing. It's just them standing there saying, look at us. Look at us standing up to the president. But I want to know, we have very little time to work on imploding Obamacare. It is collapsing. Kate's Law, as you pointed out, how have they found time to write this bill and bring it around when there's so many other important things that need to be done? With a recess coming up, there's a lot of stuff to do, and they're just going to sit here writing bills saying that the president is unfit. It's silly, and it's honestly very unbecoming of anyone who's in Congress.
I think they're just running out of bullets in the chamber. Everything they've tried, the media's tried, the Democrats on Capitol Hill, they can't stop the guy. All the tools that the Democrats and the media usually use to take down a Republican, the gender card or the race card, even the death card, they've been, calling for his head and everything. It's not working. So now they're playing the insane card. And I think they just played themselves.
You know, what do you think? I mean, this thing goes on and on. I mean, as to what, what they're doing, it's like they're chasing all this.
Well, what do you think?
If it isn't collusion, and I think people are sick and tired of that word. It's almost like we talked about the other day. Let's just remove collusion out of the lexicon, because I don't even think they know what collusion means anymore. It just sounds, initially it sounded like, something diabolical there. But, they've absolutely destroyed the process and the concept of any kind of collusion, because they've had to ignore their own participation in their own party. To try to point out, it's like this deal, the old saying, you point one finger, you got three coming back at you. And this is what the Democrats are just hoping, that the people don't see the three fingers coming back at them, whether it's has to do with Hillary and Bill Clinton or, John Podesta or any one of the, you can go down this long list, Susan Rice, even James Comey, with things that's going on now with him. I mean, and now they're saying that what he shared, that he may have broken the law, that he shared some top secret information. He just put it out there arbitrarily, just by himself, and he doesn't have that authority. I mean, the president does, but he doesn't have that authority to do that. And we're going to see how this plays out. And of course, Bob Mueller, as a special counsel with his band of attorneys, all from you would think from Democrat headquarters central, the list of people. I mean, you'd think with all these attorneys, would there be one or two maybe, from the side of conservatives that would be represented there? But no, we've got people that have been associated with the Hillary camp, staunch supporters and contributors to the Democratic Party, leading this these band of attorneys. And, you know, we all want to consider and hold to this concept that Robert Mueller is this outstanding guy, that he is beyond reproach. But we said that about James Comey, remember? Every time you talk about James Comey, talk about how honorable and how ethical he was. And here it is, sadly. I believe that that could very well have been the case. And I've heard mixed reviews, you know, from people inside, you know, FBI. We've had them here on the show. And some have said, yes, most ethical. Others have said, no, he's, there's issues here. There's things to consider. Well, that's like any one of us. You know, I don't know that anyone is perfect. I'm not claiming that James Comey should be perfect by no means. But just because somebody is alleged to be perfect, you know, that's it's almost a disqualifier in terms of if I say, Scott, you're perfect, I can't ask any questions of you. I mean, you stand on my word that you are perfect. And, you know, you're beyond question, beyond doubt. And it's kind of a another strategy of what I call invalidation.
Well, don't tell that to my mom.
Well, she's not listening right now, so and don't send her the tape either, because I know she'll call me and give me all kinds of. What do you mean, my little angel boy? He is absolutely perfect. I'm sorry, Ms. Burdick. It was just an example. That's all we're talking about, examples here. All right, but aren't you glad though? When I thought of perfection, I thought of your son. And that all has to do because of you.
Well,
right?
Yeah. Well, there you go. If you just smooth talk her, and she's not even listening. No, you're 100% right, though. This is the problem with public figures. Everybody likes to put them up on this pedestal, and you know anything that gets put on a pedestal is just going to fall off.
Right.
Because
propped up. I mean, like the previous administration. I mean, we sat here. I mean, how many times, Scott, did we go? How is this hidden? How can they not understand? How can they not see this? You know, our conversation with Carl Gallup yesterday and the research that, this has been going on and on ever since Barack Obama, you know, hoisted up that phony birth certificate. And I know some people, oh my goodness, he's putting his tin hat on. Stop. Really? This is all about the truth here. And no matter where it leads. And the fact of the matter is we have a president of the United States that put up a bogus birth certificate on a government website. Last time I checked, that is a felony. Okay. But nobody's going to call him on it. Just like we're not going to call him on so many other things. Like, you know, when he comes out and says, you know, I've been a scandal-free administration. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, so you're asking me to disconnect from reality to go along with, you know, your view that you've been scandal-free when there are literally hundreds of scandals lying here at our footsteps.
That's what you're talking about. They all talked the entire for 8 years of how honest he was and how great he was, and nobody ever called him out on any of that stuff. They let all that stuff. When I'm saying nobody ever called him out, I mean specifically news agencies. Yeah. For 8 years they sat quiet and they didn't They stopped doing their jobs to the point to where now they don't even know how to do their jobs.
Well, it's just they're picking and choosing. And then, you know, like I said, a little bit later on this morning, we're talking with Cheryl Atkinson in her book, The Smear, how shady political operatives and fake news control what you see, what you think, and how you vote. It's much more diabolical than you realize. It's more than fake news. I mean, this is this is almost becoming an institution. Which is kind of interesting because, you know, when I was growing up, there was this big warning about Russian propaganda. Remember? Everything was, Russian propaganda. So all this big stuff going on. And what have we done? We've embraced the whole idea of propaganda within our political system. It is no wonder people are fed up throwing their arms up in the air and going, what is going on here? Why can't we get the truth? But you see, if we the people don't demand the truth, and in a sense it's starting to come out, gently, in a sense, because, you know, all these media strongholds that had such an incredible following, the people are voting. They're voting with their fingertips by saying, whoop, I'm switching. I'm off that channel. I'm not spending any of my good money on a subscription of a publication that's loaded with fake news.
And think about how that came about. Think about how this has worked. CNN used to be a very good source of information.
Exactly.
I used to, you know, CNN used to always be the one that I'd turn to. Mm-hmm. And they took a reputation that they built up, and they've decided to use that for what it is now.
It's all self-inflicted. We've got more coming up. Stay with us, America. 15 after the top of the hour right now.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction. But what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lautinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
One nutritional secret is that due to soil infertility, plants are not making the percentage of mineral sugars that they did before the advent of chemical agriculture. These mineral sugars are measured in the juice of a plant. The more sugar, the more minerals, proteins, fatty acids, vitamins, and phytochemicals. According to some experts, these mineral sugars are what activate the DNA of our body to be efficient at making protein. Due to an absence of enough of these mineral sugars in our plant foods today, our bodies require 40% more protein. One World Whey is a technologically enhanced whey protein food that can supplement the protein needs of your diet. It is easy to assimilate and it tastes delicious. However, its most attractive feature is that people from ages 3 to 80 are having phenomenal improvements in health. People are reporting vast improvements in energy and well-being that last for 4 hours or more from a single serving. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, I am Kelly Cook, the Chief Marketing Officer here at Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? Guess what? You can help. Join me and Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. So start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Did former FBI Director James Comey break the law when he had a friend leak information about his meetings with President Trump to the media, specifically those memos? The president thinks so, and he wants you to know it. What do we know about the Comey memos and what lawmakers are looking at tonight? Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge has the latest.
A legal source close to the matter tells Fox News the fired FBI director's memos documenting his conversations with President Trump are considered government records, and some of the material contain classified information as first reported by the Hill newspaper. All FBI employees sign these employment agreements that block the unauthorized storage or sharing of government material.
It is hard to believe that that information would not be classified. And in furtherance, if it is true that the information was secret and or confidential, then that would be in violation of the rules.
Comey justified his actions to a Senate panel last month.
You consider it to be somehow your own personal document that you could share with the media as you wanted to?
Correct.
Through a friend?
I understood this to be my recollection recorded of my conversation with the president. As a private citizen, I felt free to share that. I thought it very important to get it out.
Writing in a tweet today, President Trump claimed James Comey leaked classified information to the media. That is so illegal. One of the president's aides went further on Fox and Friends.
The Boy Scout choir boy defense doesn't hold up here. By handing over, admitting under oath, handing over classified information through, quote, private recollection, doesn't matter what he calls it, matters what it is.
Senator Warner is the senior Democrat on the Intelligence Committee.
I've seen these reports that there may have been after the fact classification. We don't know who may have classified those documents, if they were classified, and I want to get the answer to that.
A year ago this month, then-Director Comey publicly chastised Hillary Clinton and her team for their careless handling of highly classified material and the use of a personal server for government business.
His recent actions and what he admitted to is very contradictory.
Comey gave memos to a Columbia Law School professor who told Fox today that he never gave hard copies to the media. No memos were classified at the time he received them. But Comey may be criticized over retroactive classification, the same issue that damaged Clinton's campaign.
Well, it's kind of tough when the FBI is claiming that they were all government documents, despite Comey's description of his notes as personal. I think it's interesting, Scott. I mean, how do you suddenly play the other side and say, well, I wrote these notes. Well, wasn't he the director of the FBI when he wrote those notes? So how does he become, you know, how is the FBI director suddenly declare himself in kind of a King's X and now he's a private citizen and these notes need to be looked at as a private citizen? But yet he wouldn't have had access to the president like this and had this kind of discussion if he was a private citizen. So,
well, your
how does
is
it come?
He can't. He broke the rules. I'm not saying he has to go sit in a cell for, you know, 20 years or something, but he broke the rules, and I think that's pretty apparent. And it's a rule that he knew was in place because it was the same, like they said, it was the same rule that he brought up with Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time that he exchanged it, this might not have been classified, but we do retroactively classify things.
Right. Well, and that's what they kept. Remember, they kept saying that recurring at the time, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, when they're saying this, see, this is all attorney speak. This is all attorney safety ground type of deal so that it gives them plausible deniability, and it gives them a position of standing to where they can escape
at
accountability.
At the same time, though, I would hope that if you are all the way to the head of the FBI, that you'd have a pretty good idea of, as you're doing stuff, hey, wait a minute, this stuff that I'm putting in here, this might be classified information, you know, going ahead, because I'm assuming that they have to have a better understanding of things than a lot of the other people around them.
Yeah.
I would hope, anyways. I mean, that might just be me, you know, wishful thinking again, you know, like having a Congress and stuff that I feel cares actually about day-to-day life for me and not,
right,
you know, just random people around the world. Again, that might be a pipe dream of mine.
Mm-hmm. But what you're saying, see, you're holding to your own values of integrity. See, and this has been part of the challenge when you are, you know, around this kind of power and the influence it'll have on you, that you begin to think yourself as God and superior, that you are in the position to make these decisions, you know, because you are the king or close to the king. And, you know, this is the problem that the forgotten man and woman, Main Street America, keep scratching their head over, go, wait a minute, how can this be? You know, the rule of law is so violated and it's so loose. I mean, this situation, I mean, you know, gosh, Scott, we're you bring up Hillary Clinton. We keep, you know, bumping our toes and tripping over the bodies, and, you know, the broken laws associated with Hillary Clinton. And, you know, it's like, how can you process anything with James Comey or anybody else for that matter? Or what you do is you get selective, you know, like with Dinesh D'Souza. Let's go after Dinesh D'Souza on a minor deal, okay, where he broke the law and we're going to, you know, put him in jail for a while because he did break the law. Well, you know, it's all selective. You know, Lois Lerner, you know, she breaks the law. She weaponizes the IRS, actually, you know, just took the IRS out of its silos, has already been weaponized, and decided, okay, we're going to, you know, fire off some Scud missiles here. And, you know, meanwhile, she's off in retirement, enjoying her happy life at our expense. Thank you very much. And meanwhile, what she left behind was, you know, was a waste of, and I mean a, when I mean waste, it's like a nuclear waste of all this impropriety and broken laws. But we're not going to get on the other side of this. I mean, this is what Trump, you know, put out and why he connected with the people. Because he says, we're going to bring the rule of law back into play here in this country. And look what's happened just by the mere mention of him doing it. It's the same kind of effect with Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan came in, they said, whoa, this cowboy, he's serious. He's actually going to follow up on what he's saying. And so, you know, a couple decisions later, things start getting, you know, taken care of and people self-indict. They leave the country because they know they're here illegally. All these things are starting to happen and begin to clear up. So the draining of the swamp has begun, but for some, it may not be fast enough. But that's only because there is a lot of muck and mire here that has to be drained. I mean, it has been accumulated over a number of years. I mean, we could only hope, Scott, that we could really drain the swamp and have some sort of, you know, revival in this country that says, look, we need to be a country of integrity. And I know it's heartbreaking for people when they find out of, you know, what the United States has done overseas, how we've misused and abused our power, how we've done things, you know, for interests that are not consistent with the values of Main Street America. And it's heartbreaking when you see this and you go, gosh, I can't believe we're associated with this. No wonder people in the Middle East hate America because, you know, because of what we've shown them by our actions. But it isn't us. It's people who represent us.
Well, on that, I guess I'd say that, I mean, they should hate me no more than I hate them. Just because, you know, my chosen government decides to do something to them, that is not me.
Yeah. well, hate is a hard word, and I know what you're saying and how you're saying it, but I want people to understand is that, this whole hate aspect, you talk about a waste of time and energy and humanity, you know, this hatred that goes on, that's been taking place, that's been on display for how many years now in the form of ISIS. And, of course, we've got some recent great news, and that is that the Iraqis, supported by an empowered U.S. military force, have taken Mosul back. And Mosul, if you remember, when ISIS first took that over, I mean, that was their crowning glory. I mean, this was validation that they were, you know, on this mission from God. And they were validated by taking over Mosul, right? So now that they've lost it, what does that say?
I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said it's an empowered United States force.
Yes.
When you allow soldiers to be soldiers, things tend to happen.
Yeah. When you give a soldier a gun and bullets, and it's just it's decorative, no bueno, you know? So this is the difference between the two administrations, loud and clear. And America is winning again. And we need to continue to move forward free and brave.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy, they mean something. Bill Martinez, live. Yeah. Your program, your calls, when your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Our next guest is one we've been looking forward to, we've been talking about for quite a while. Cheryl Atkinson joins us. We're going to be talking about her new book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See and What You Think. Cheryl Atkinson, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for all the hard work you've been doing. I have admired your work over the years, Cheryl, and I am so glad to see, you know, I know it was a rough patch there for a while, and a lot of people took note of the way you were treated, but this is something about what my dad used to always say, that the cream always rises to the top, and you are stellar at what you do. And they just could not hold you down, no matter what they tried to do.
Well, that's very kind. I mean, I would say for most of my career, I was very well treated. I just quit CBS ahead of my contract when I saw the last couple of years, the writing on the wall. which is really happening at all news organizations, and it's kind of what the smear is about, the pervasiveness of the industries that are able to, political and corporate and financial, able to shape news in ways I don't think viewers really want it to be shaped.
Well, and it's been at a costly proposition, Cheryl, as you note. What has happened is the media has abandoned ethics for, as you say, clicks. Clicks seems to be the order of the day. CNN, you know, they're chasing down ratings. And look at the damage that they've done to their brand.
Well, let me provide just a slightly alternate view.
Okay.
I have seen things and observed that behavior among the news media that defies ratings chasing. In other words, I think many decisions are made not for that reason, and sometimes at the expense of good ratings, because they are pleasing their ideologues or else their corporate partners or financial interests that you don't know about or political interests. And sometimes good ratings are sort of a side effect, so they can pat themselves on the back and say, this is why we're doing it. But I really don't think in many cases that's the key motivation, at least when it comes to news organizations and what they've been doing.
No, good point. I think you're right there. More so is that the ideology has crept into the editors' rooms and in the control rooms, and that at great injury on, you know, for all concerned. Because what do we expect from our media but to, you know, document history, to inform us, to pursue the truth, to do, you know, the hard work that you've been known to do as an investigative journalist.
Yeah, I think that there still is a huge market out there for people who would like to see news that they don't have to discount because they saw it on one network or read it on one newspaper, and they have to think to themselves, well, they're conservative or they're liberal, what might they be peddling? I still think even people who seek out those sources would like to have a more neutral source they could go to, where they feel like if a Republican or Democrat is criticized or if a corporate interest is examined, it's because that's where the facts led. It's not because the reporter wanted it to be that way or because managers steered them in that direction. It's just how it is. But it's really hard to find or to feel confident that you're seeing much of that these days.
Exactly. Well, it's a divided country we live in today, Cheryl, and maybe that's down the road. You know, maybe it's a kind of a rebirth for journalism, you know, for journalists particularly. I think of their profession, you know, of your profession, how time-honored it has been and the big hit it's taken here recently because of ideology. But that's what I hear. I hear the same thing, just as you stated, from our listeners, that they're looking, you know, for people that they can relate to. Feel like at least that they're, you know, the journalist or whoever's reporting on it is pursuing the truth above all, and you know, let the facts fall where they're going to fall, and you know, let the people decide.
And you know, when you do that now, which I learned firsthand, I did many stories that were considered liberal in nature. I mean, I don't consider them political, but people like to label them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've done stories that some have considered conservative in nature because they ended up leading to perhaps the Obama White House, for example, where I didn't know that's where they were going to lead ahead of time. Those stories are controversialized, and then I'm made out to be, as they tried to do some interests when I was at CBS, mm-hmm. to be some sort of conservative interest pursuing a conservative agenda because they don't want those stories to be listened to. That's part of the smear narrative, to try to controversialize stories. And then they conveniently ignore the stories and the narratives that don't fit their ideas, like the many stories I did that were called liberal. So they really craft what I call in the book an artificial reality that suits their efforts to steer opinions in one direction and make sure people don't listen to certain reporters or certain ideas or certain politicians, and instead really flood the landscape with the ideas they want put out.
Exactly. Cheryl, how does that make you feel as a professional when you see your peers being segregated like this, and they themselves being smeared and set aside, you know, losing jobs and positions because they don't want to fit the ideological form?
Well, I went to an investigative reporters conference a couple years ago, gave me the idea for this book, where one after the other reporters came up to me and told me how they had been attacked and targeted by special interests, particularly in many cases by Media Matters, the smear group. It's one of a huge network run by David Brock and their billionaire donors in many instances. And the journalists were afraid, not because they thought that the smear artists really had any power, except that the managers listened to them. So they did. In other words, it's their manager's reaction to the propaganda effort that put fear into the hearts of the journalists who were just trying to do their job. And I remember saying, you know, we should be, as an industry, calling these efforts what they are. Mm-hmm. And calling this industry of smears what it is, because they're shaping the news industry in a very serious and harmful way. But instead, we in the news, I find, are kind of ill-equipped to deal with that. We're just too busy out there covering stories every day. This industry has developed, this multi-million dollar, in some case billion-dollar industry of groups that effort smears and narratives and propaganda has grown up around us. And it's kind of like we're no match for it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think on the upside, Cheryl, and I thought about this relevant to broadcasting, because as long as you've been involved in the media, in print media, and even with television, I've been in broadcasting for over 45 years myself, and I started seeing how this new media that was coming into play, social media and tweeting and all this, that this is the new future. So where, you know, some of these operatives have control of these major institutions, there is a burgeoning institution that is coming about, that's on the horizon, that is making way and affording an opportunity for investigative journalists like yourself to have place, and for other journalists to have place and to be independent. Because even on a show like ours, you know, people will say, Bill, how can you talk about this sort of thing? I say, well, the beauty is that I'm independent. I'm not beholden to some broadcast entity that tells me I can't ask certain questions.
What's interesting about that is there's now a propaganda effort against the company that allowed me to start this program, Sinclair, which is run by a conservative, wealthy conservative family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no one ever seemed to complain when I worked for organizations that were headed by Democrat donors and Democrat interests, wealthy billionaires. On the liberal side, that didn't affect my work. And the conservative nature of Sinclair doesn't affect my work. That was part of the deal in coming here. But you will start seeing, I believe, a growing effort to target, through a propaganda campaign, Sinclair, because they threaten the status quo. They're trying to buy Tribune companies, which would vastly expand their reach among local news stations. And people don't want that out there. That competes with the prevailing narratives that are being put out on the media that's already taken hold. So you'll see people complain about Sinclair, but the hypocrisy is they never complained about the much more pervasive landscape of the billionaires on the other side of the political spectrum who already dominate what we see.
Exactly. Well, our conversation with Cheryl Atkinson continues. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with happiness expert Sean Acor. Leading into the busy summer travel season, Bank of America, in partnership with Condé Nast Traveler, created the Joy Index to explore the connection between happiness and travel. Happiness expert Sean Acor.
Science shows that traveling makes us happy. Different cultures, new adventures, and relaxation. I found that these things in my research drastically improve our happiness and energy. We explored the unique factors that make a trip memorable to create the Joy Index, a list of 10 most joyous destinations. And based on all this work, we curated specific must-dos for each destination that are all eligible purchases for redemption on the Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card points to offset their costs. With the Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points per dollar spent anywhere, anytime, making your next memorable experience closer than you think.
For more information, visit cntraveler.com/joyindex.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436. 436.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind.
I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, I'm free. Free falling.
You don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels. To be me.
Live. Welcome back, America. Our conversation with Cheryl Atkinson continues. Her book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See and What You Think and How You Vote. The investigative journalist is an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, host of the Sunday morning news program Full Measure, and author of the New York Times bestseller Stonewalled, and we're talking about her new book. Cheryl, in The Smear, you address the Dem media collusion. Tell our audience about that.
Well, you know, we have interesting access to what I call transactional journalism, which takes place probably between corporations, Democrats, Republicans, and the media. But we have special look inside Democrats and the mainstream media because WikiLeaks was given documents and certain Freedom of Information Act requests have revealed emails that show this nature of unethical relationships, in my view, between top journalists and organizations and the people that we're supposed to report on and be neutral about. You can see these political operatives for the Clinton campaign literally calling the shots on what reporters must report behind the scenes, what percentage of their story must take on positive themes versus the controversies that are to be addressed, when it's to be published, what words are to be used. There's a reporter well-known in Washington, Mark Ambender. He was with The Atlantic. Mm-hmm. He's worked for other major publications, left-leaning. And he's trying to get an advanced copy of a speech in one of these emails from then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And Clinton's aide says, okay, on three conditions, and literally lays out terms that this journalist must follow to get an advance copy of the speech. He does all of them. And one of the terms was, you must describe her speech as muscular, which is a strange word to use, not one right. he'd probably think of on his own, but there was a reason they wanted to use. And the reporter, Ambender, in his email says, you got it, you know, no problem, and goes about and writes the story the way the, on the three conditions that were demanded. And I did a search because I was curious. I found two other outlets, quasi-news outlets, also using the word muscular to describe the same Hillary speech. And my instincts tell me nobody thought up that word, right. that was being placed, you know, that Ambender wasn't the only journalist who that narrative was dictated to, and they seemed happy to comply. So when you see these themes on the news and in publication online and on social media that just repeat themselves over and over, you can suspect that there's somebody behind it pulling strings.
Yeah, the flags have to go up for that one. Well, wasn't there a report, Cheryl, that Robbie Mook was editing? He bragged about editing some of the journalists' reports as well.
Well, I don't have that example in my book, but I don't doubt it, just because there were many other very similar ones that we did see. There were reporters, one who worked for Associated Press but worked at the L.A. Times at the time, who was reporting on the CIA and running his stories before them in advance, saying, you know, how's this look to you? That's completely against all standards that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. We have a reporter at the time from Politico named Glenn Thrush, who described himself in one of these emails as a hack. He said, because I have become a hack, as he's writing these Clinton campaign people, I'm sending this story to you to see if you want to change anything, or I'm running it by you before publication. And then he gets rewarded by being hired by the New York Times to cover Donald Trump. So the most egregious behavior that wouldn't be allowed in journalism school is in some instances being rewarded as if it's a good thing in today's environment.
But to your point, that's what has formed the whole industry now, is that that kind of behavior that is perceived by the ideologues as being good behavior, that's rewarded. And if you're independent, outside of the box, pursuing the truth and doing, you know, the gumshoe kind of reporting, going out there and asking the hard questions, putting the time in, like you and other investigative journalists, well, then you're on the outside looking in.
That's absolutely right, and they do try to carve you out of the process and make you an outlier and controversialize you so you don't bring that sort of different perspective to the landscape. They really want to control the entire thing and silence people. I mean, I think years ago that was my first hint that something was going on unseemly, and it wasn't about politics. It was actually corporate interests that were trying to literally silence stories, not provide their side, not provide their perspective, which I was used to and which is something that should happen, but silence viewpoints and people entirely. And I thought that was a strange trend for me at the time. Now it's commonplace. You're just not allowed to air stories that include certain viewpoints. Even if you're including two or three opposing views, there's certain ones you're not supposed to represent. You're not supposed to hear from. You're supposed to just say it isn't valid. And if you don't fall in line, your reporting is questioned.
Yeah, you're not invited to the cocktail parties anymore, and you're on the outside. In your book, you also address the Google Obama fake news gamut. Break that down for our audience.
Gosh, there was so much going on. I'm not sure which part you're talking about, but toward the end of the book, I trace, if this is what you mean, how fake news as a phrase began and how we all started talking about it on a daily basis. And it appeared quite suddenly in September of 2016 from a nonprofit that stated it was necessary to start cracking down on so-called fake news. And it named its partners as the purveyors of what some people think are fake news, you know, CNN and Washington Post. And they were going to be helping ABC. But I looked into that group, and it turns out they were begun at the beginning of the election cycle by a group started in the UK funded by Google. And the parent company of Google, Alphabet, of course, was Hillary Clinton's number two top donor, Eric Schmidt. So it starts to look like a political effort for fake news. But then President Obama took up out of the blue and said, oh, we need, in this wild, wild west, we need curators of the news. Well, the public at the time wasn't clamoring for it. Certainly wasn't a grassroots effort. And before you knew it, as if they had their assignment, headlines every day about fake news, fake news, fake news. So it was a progressive initiative that then Donald Trump, master brander that he is, co-opted and took over And now a lot of people think he thought it up. And in fact, he just grabbed it and sort of stole that narrative from them.
Right. You know, this is the thing that people miss about Donald Trump, is that he is such a great observer of momentum in the marketplace. This is what makes him a genius, that he knows how to get in front of this. And it's driving the media, the mainstream media, absolutely nuts, because he's beating them, in a sense, at their own game.
Well, that's why I call him the anti-smear candidate. Mm-hmm. A reporter from the Washington Post was asking me questions about the book on C-SPAN. He said, "Do you mean he doesn't smear? What do you mean anti-smear?" I said, "No, I mean he is like, the smear is kryptonite, you know, to him. It doesn't stick to him like it does to other politicians, partly because his response is not the same as politicians would make." Mm-hmm. And I think that makes him extremely unique. I don't think anyone has ever been more smeared, because he faced opponents not just from Democrats. He faced opposition from his own party, Republicans, and, of course, from the media, in a social media internet landscape that has never existed before, you know, as technology has grown, and yet won this election. So
exactly.
I think that makes him, you know, like I say, the anti-smear candidate.
And this is on the heels of Barack Obama, you know, revolutionizing it and taking it up to that point for the 08 and the 12 election cycle. But also, you know, when you talk about the anti-smear candidate, then you look at the antithesis there, and you've got Hillary Clinton and David Brock, the mother and father of the modern smear campaign.
Yep. You know, it's interesting to trace where the Clintons, the role that they play over decades in creating and perfecting smear campaigns, in making ways for smear operatives that have continued on for many decades to operate and do their business. Also, as I say in the book, the Clintons were targeted by smears. There was a rich billionaire, Richard Mellon Scaife, who literally plunked down money, as these smear artists do, or two smear artists, to dig up dirt on President Clinton once he was elected, actually paid. Mm-hmm. Or so-called journalism to dig up stories. This is what they do behind the scenes. And one of the people paid to do this was David Brock, who at the time was a conservative smearing liberals, and later confessed to dishonest and unethical behavior and switched sides and became a liberal smearing conservatives on behalf of his liberal donors. So I think that was one of the most fascinating tales in the whole book, you know, that goes sort of a common thread that goes throughout. So
exactly.
The Clintons and the rise of David Brock, and in the end, how all that money he spent and his network of organizations, which is ubiquitous, still couldn't get Hillary Clinton elected.
Yeah, exactly. Without a doubt. Cheryl, one final question here, because I know you have to run and I appreciate the time. What do you want the readers to take away from the smear?
I think that they should question what they see. Just take the word of one smear artist I interviewed for the book. He said, "Nothing you see, every scene put before you in daily life, whether it's a comedian talking on a comedy show, things that you're seeing on social media, or what you see on the news," he says, "it's like a movie. Nothing is there by accident. It was put there for a reason, often by people who've paid a great deal of money to get it before your eyes." And if you think that way and just ask a lot of questions, I think you'll be a smarter consumer.
Well, without a doubt. Cheryl Atkinson, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You take care. Author of the book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How to Vote. Cheryl Atkinson, an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, host of Sunday morning news program Full Measure, and author of the New York Times bestseller Stone.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day, because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907. It's an open.